Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 458. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how to receive one at the end of the program. Let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They are absolutely free. We will also pay the postage and the handling for you. So you need, if you're interested in listening to the program over and over again, well, then a lot of people do, because there's things in my programs that the universities tell me that is far above university teaching, because the Holy Spirit is always above university teaching. As a matter of fact, I discourage people from going to universities for theology, because they always come out with so many versions of thoughts that they're taught in the university. And the Bible tells us that there's no private interpretation of the Word of God. It means exactly what it says, and it's discerned by the Spirit, not carnal college professors or university professors. We have letters. We've got Bible reading tonight. We have a strong message. We got great music. And but right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint this program into everyone's hearts, Lord, into their spirits. The Spirit is the inner sanctuary where you live. You abide in people's spirits when they accept you. You give them a new spirit, and then you move into it as you promised in the Old Testament, and you confirm in the New. The Old and New Testament are one. It's impossible, Father, for us to know Jesus. We have to know something about Jesus and something about the church, his body. But, Father, we ask that you say enough in this program through me, that people will want to be part of the body of Christ, that they may know him inwardly throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Father, we ask that you save souls and strengthen the church in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Right now, I'd like to talk a little bit about this. You know, you need to know about Christ. You can't know about Christ unless you study the Word, because the Word is Christ, the Old and New Testament. They don't cross each other at all. You have to say something about also the church. The true church is not any religion like Catholicism or Buddhism or Shintoism or any of the other isms. The church of Christ is his body. He lives in humans. It is nothing other than that. In Matthew 16, the Lord first spoke about himself. That's the first time he really spoke much about himself, by asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? Who am I? The Apostle Peter, even before he was converted, stated, because he could see him raising the dead and healing everybody, he says, you are Christ. In other words, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's verse 16. After Peter received this relation with Christ by the revelation, this knowledge, immediately the Lord told him that he would build his church upon this rock. In other words, this fact. This fact. The fact is yes, I am the Son of the living God, not you, Peter.
Amen.
Amen. And the Catholics say that Peter was the first pope. No, Peter was a Jew, and he was married, and popes that I've seen don't get married, and a lot of them are homosexuals. Amen?
Amen.
And so So he, the Lord told him that he would build his church upon this rock, this solid rock fact. In other words, Christ himself, with the living knowledge of himself. You can't have Christ without the living knowledge of Christ. And so we need to find out for sure, is Christ the Son of the living God? Well, the Old Testament gives us 333 prophecies so that we would be able to identify Christ, the Messiah, the fact, the solid rock, Christ Jesus. So when you're reading or you're reaching, you're trying to reach one person in this whole world. Now, there's a lot of people in this world, and you want to reach just one person by mail. There's 333 prophecies that we can determine for sure that Christ is the Messiah. Now, Peter just received it by the Holy Spirit. But in my Messiah book, it states, everyone is familiar with this common fact that any person living in any part of the world having mail service can be picked out from the rest of all the people on earth by simply addressing a letter to him using 6 or 7 definite specifications for, in other words, prophecies. For example, if we write a letter to Lester B. Smith or John Doe, let's say, that name, there could be a lot of Lester B. Smiths or John Doe in the world, but this one lives at 413 Madison Avenue in Chicago. That's the street address in Chicago, Illinois. So what do we do here? We got Illinois is where he lives, 4143 Madison Avenue. That's number 2. And well, he lives in the United States as 3, and his name is Lester B. Smith, USA. So that's now we are picking out one man from all the people in the world. We can possibly, absolutely, and positively identify him and reach him by selecting from all the nations of the world the country or the nation where he lives. And that is the USA. And so we eliminate all the other countries in the world by selecting out of the country one state where he lives, Illinois. That's 2 prophecies. We eliminate all the other states in the United States or in the world by designating one city, Chicago. In that state, we eliminate all other cities of the world by pointing out the correct address, the one house in Chicago where he lives, 4143 Madison Avenue. We automatically exclude all other houses or other streets where this man lives in the world. And by giving him one correct name, Lester B. Smith, we not only distinguish him from other individuals who may live in the same house, we also eliminate all other persons in the world. So that's only, 5, 6, 7 prophecies of this one man. But there's 333 positive identifications of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to know him. You read the Bible and read all the prophecies, or if you'd like to, you can order one of my Messiah books that shows all these 333 prophecies of Christ so that you can be sure. You can be positively and absolutely knowledgeable of that Jesus Christ truly was the only one in the entire world that ever could have fulfilled all these 333 prophecies. So he truly is the Messiah, and you didn't receive this by the Holy Spirit coming upon you as he did Peter, but you're receiving it if you get a copy of my Messiah book. Now, many people have been told that Jesus was the Messiah, and Jesus has appeared in vision to many, many, many different people on the face of this earth, millions of them. So in like manner, in giving sufficient number of definite specifications or prophecies in the Old Testament connecting the coming Messiah, God enabled us to pick out this one man from all history, from all nations, from all peoples, and be absolutely sure that one man and one man only is the Messiah. So this is the way this Messiah book of mine goes. So let us carefully examine the Lord's, Jesus Christ's, credentials, his address, as it were, these details, these specifications, these elements of his address were given that all might be sure, absolutely sure, who the true Messiah is. As we proceed with the listing and explanation of these predictions and their conclusive effect is overwhelming. It will soon become obvious that no other person in the history of the entire world could fulfill all the messianic predictions, or even a very small percentage of them, except Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the Living God. Well, in the first place, God eliminated the entire male population of the world as the immediate parent of the Messiah. God was the parent of the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
And at the same time, he made it clear the Messiah would come as a man. He would come into this world as a human being and not as an angel. Not just a human being, but a man. And he would not come into the world as an angel. When he gave the promise that the coming deliverer would be, quote, the seed of the woman, quote, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking about the devil and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, the seed of God given her for pregnancy of the Messiah, the Son of God. She was the incubator that God used to put the seed in. It shall bruise thy head. Jesus would bruise the head of Satan, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, in other words, he's going to get hurt through the process, but Satan is going to be destroyed. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Well, we'll just let that settle into your soul, into your spirit here for a while. Well, I sang a song for you here along with J.D. Sumner in the Stamps Quartet. It's called Swing Down, Sweet Chariot. And Swing Down, the Sweet Chariot is the Holy Spirit. Everybody that has any brains in their head wants to go to heaven. And the Holy Spirit is what takes us up. We must have the Holy Spirit living within our spirit. And if it is, the Bible says that the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead will also resurrect us from the dead and will pull us like a sweet, sweet chariot and just pull us right up into the kingdom of heaven as he did Enoch and Elijah. Now, both have to die. Elijah has already come back to earth as a man because it's appointed unto every person. Once to die, we all have to die. Well, Enoch hasn't died yet. He was taken up because he walked with God. And so he has to come back. He's going to be one of the two witnesses, I believe, is him and his wife. No, it's not going to be Moses. It's not going to be Elijah again. Elijah's not going to die twice. Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah come back. Amen?
Amen.
The spirit of Elijah entered into him while he was in his mother's womb, and he leaped for joy in her womb. And so, you know, once you're saved, you can rely that the sweet chariot of the Lord will come down. It will swing down and take you up. If the Spirit of God that was dwelling in Jesus that raised him from the dead is in you at the time of your death, you also will be taken up by the chariot. And here I am, J.D. Sumner in the Stamps Quartet, to sing Swing Down, Sweet Chariot.
You swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, down and easy. I got a home on the other side. Won't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, down and easy. I got a home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, down and easy. Well, I got a home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down and he got on board. Chariot wasn't bumping on down the road. She wasn't particular about the bumping on the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride?
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. How it is you
well?
I got home on the other side.
Well, I got a father in the promised land. Ain't gonna stop until I shake his hand. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. How it is you well?
I got home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride?
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Bow and easy,
well,
I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride?
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Bow and easy,
well,
I got a home on the other side.
On the other side, yeah. That wasn't J.D. Sumner at the Stamps, I forgot. I'm sorry, folks. That was just a group of us that got together and decided to sing the song We sang it over at Porter Wagner's studio. He's now in the Hall of Fame. And so that's who it was. I did so many with J.D., and I thought, well, yeah, I did this. No, I didn't. Okay, I guess I'm a little forgetful on that particular point, but I'm right on with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Lord told the Apostle Peter... that because he said, you are the Son of the living God. You're the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus said that he's going to build his church upon this rock-hard fact. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you believe that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of the living God, and you ask him in, he will come in. Not Peter. It's not Peter going to meet you at the pearly gate like these songs say. It's going to be Jesus that's going to welcome you in and say, come on in, my good and faithful servant. Well done. And, you know, it's about time that people get their heads screwed on rightly. Amen?
Amen.
Especially with the scriptures, because it's the scriptures, the belief in the scriptures, not fantasy, or idolatry like the Gentiles, the unbelievers, would like you to believe. The Vatican, the chief of the Gentiles. But it's the fact, the actual, this rock, this solid rock fact, that Christ himself, with the living knowledge of himself, you can't have Christ without the living knowledge of Christ. And that's why I read just a few ways that you could identify a person in this world just by five or six, seven at the most, by mail, descriptions of where the person lives. I've had mail come to me, it said, from overseas. It said, Tony Alamo, USA. That's all it had on it, and it got to me. So I guess I'm easily identified. And Jesus is, too. He's very easily identified. But on top of this, he gives you 333 that I know of. There are many more, I'm sure, in the Old Testament. But 333 prophecies about himself that no one else could possibly have fulfilled. I'll give you a few of them. One of them tells the exact day he'd be born and the exact day that he'd die. That's absolutely supernatural. Then it tells that he'd die on a tree, a cross, with nail-pierced hands and nail-pierced feet, and that he'd be pierced in the side, that he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And it goes on and on and on. Order my Messiah book. It's absolutely free. I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm just telling you, I'm just concerned about your soul. I want your soul to go to heaven. And more than me, God wants your soul to go to heaven. Jesus wants your soul to go to heaven and stay out of the lake of fire. So bad that he actually died for you. He kept every commandment and died on the cross for you and shed his blood. So, we're not exalting anyone here but Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when I give my testimony, I tell some of the paltry things that I've done in this world before that a lot of people pay a lot of credence to because their minds and hearts and souls are focused on movie stars and singers and stuff that isn't going to add anything to your entry into the kingdom of heaven at all. But, this is what I was deceived in, wrapped up into producing and selling music and promoting films and promoting people's careers and products and so on and so forth. But and would you know, the Beatles asked me to be their manager, and so did the Rolling Stones and many other singers. And when I, just at the time that I got saved, and the Lord was testing me to see if I'd do that, if I was interested in letting people know, you know, to try to impress human beings that I'm the manager of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, they just seemed like so much garbage to me when I realized that the Lord was up there in heaven, and when he started pulling the breath out of my body and and talking, closing my ears off and talking in my spirit. I could hear his voice in my feet, my arms, legs, everywhere in my body. And so it wasn't anything that was worth doing anything. It just discouraged me completely from doing anything in the world. And I gave Iona Beatles album because Peter Best, he's still alive, people can check it out, that he gave me a Beatles album for being his worldwide promoter. And I've never sold that Beatles album. It's still sitting. And don't want to sell it because I want people to know that I'm not in the ministry for money. I wouldn't go through the things that I've been accused of and all the fallacy. I wouldn't do that for all the money in the world. Why wouldn't I just sell my Beatles album and just retire someplace in Europe or somewhere in some nice place here in the United States? I wouldn't do this for love nor money to put up with this. But I love the Lord, and I know that time goes by so fast. I just remember when I was a little boy not long ago, and now all of a sudden it just seemed like a blink of the eyes. Here I am, 73 years old. I just can't believe it. And a lot of my friends have already died. But I'm in good health because the Lord taught me the secret of how to have long life. And not only the way you eat and work out and a little bit, but it's by serving Him. He gives you long life for serving Him and not being afraid to do so. And, same thing, people that are with supposed to be the United States government, but which really is the Roman Vatican government, world government, they're so afraid of those people that it's impossible for them to be saved unless they take the initiative to just ignore what they're saying, and they don't care if they have to, what they have to go through to get into heaven. That's the pearl of great price, folks. Jesus paid the price for us. We were the pearl of great price to Him. And if He becomes our pearl of great price, we'll sell everything that we have. Just put our Beatles albums and what other albums or whatever trash we've got, like jobs with the government or anything like that, and trust the Lord to support us. Amen?
Amen.
I really never had anything much as money in my pockets when I was out in the world, and never knew anything about real estate or how to own it or anything. All these things I learned. How to live and how to be filled with peace and knowledge and understanding and wisdom in this world and the fear of the Lord, which is the most important thing. I don't fear all you weasels out in the world. You don't frighten me at all, but I fear God. And you better fear Him yourself, or He's going to take your lives or your loved ones' lives. So you just better remember that. I know. And the Bible tells us that the human brain is made out of dirt, that we're made out of dirt, and it's not very strong, and that's why we have to keep reminding ourselves of the Word of God by reading it. We have to take the initiative. We have to take the initiative to know that the Lord Jesus Christ truly is who He says He is. And remember, you cannot have Christ without the living knowledge of Christ, and that comes from the Bible. The Bible says that Christ made everything in the universe. The Son of God made everything. The church will be built upon the living Christ, the fact that the living Christ is the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
That's the solid rock. Amen? Amen. That's, you can stand on that. You can trust that. Peter, he wasn't even saved at the time. Why would God, Jesus say anything like that? And this is what the whole Catholic Church, a false Catholic cult, tells everybody, that Peter is, we just believe in Peter. They all, or Mary, they always misdirect you. The devil's cult always misdirects you from Christ. And the Bible keeps pointing you to Christ. Christ and Christ only. With the living knowledge of Christ. So you can see the principle right there. If you talk about Christ, then you have to know the body of Christ, the church. Because the Word of God tells you in the book of Acts what the church does and how it reacted to things and how we're supposed to react to everything. If you have heard that you must have Christ as the head of the church, you must also have the body. Christ is the head of the church. But are you saying that the head doesn't have a body? No, the head does have a body, and that body is us, we who are born again of the Spirit. No religion, but we, the blood-washed saints, we are his body because we teach what he, the head of us, teaches throughout the Scriptures. And throughout the Scriptures, there is a line of Christ, the lineage with the church. He lines himself up with the church, and he calls us the sons of God. God said when we receive his Son that we also become sons of God if we have the new Spirit that the Lord gives us, and he then moves into the Spirit. It's his Son living in our spirit, and therefore we're considered sons of God. And when that Spirit enters into us, we cry out to God, Abba, which in the Hebrew language means God. My God. You know, Father. It means Father. Amen? Amen. Father God. Abba. I remember when I was in Israel, I was living in Tiberias, and I was living also in Jerusalem. And I heard the school kids, you know, they were like talking in Hebrew. They were all reciting some kind of whatever it was, because I don't speak Hebrew. But they were saying, one of them was crying, and they were saying, Abba, Abba, you know, like that, Father, Father. There is the line, lineage of the church, always going together with Christ. The head doesn't go one way and the body another one. If we believe in Christ, then we do what Christ says. We're his body. Amen? Mm-hmm. There is the church as the counterpart of Christ. Now, this church also is the body of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. In the Old Testament, the very first chapter of the Bible, there is a man created by God. The created man's name was Adam. He was not only an individual man, but also a complete man. He wasn't going to go to hell. He was complete. He had the Spirit of God in him. Everything that man was supposed to be was included in Adam. He was a corporate man. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Adam, as a corporate completed man, was created in the image of God. So read 15:22 and then go to Genesis 1:26.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Right, all of us die if we remain in Adam, because Adam fell away from God by believing what Satan was saying, just like Satan is saying much more today to destroy souls. At first, Satan told Eve that she could eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even after the Lord told her that no, she would surely die if she ate from it. She would die. The Spirit of God would move away from her. They'd be cast out of the Garden of Eden, and that would be it. So Genesis 1:26 also read.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Okay, and that was that we're given charge of the entire earth. But when, because God said so, when we believe God, we have charge over everything. We have power and dominion over everything. But we have to take that power and dominion. I'm not talking about the power and dominion that the people that are in the world think, like we can take power and dominion by weapons of war. That isn't what we're talking about. That isn't what the Lord's talking about. But go to Colossians 1:15. You can see that Christ is the image of the complete, the invisible God. Go ahead, read it.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
Right, so the firstborn of every creature. Therefore, for man to be created according to the image of God simply means that man was created according to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Why did God create a man? What was his purpose? Well, God's purpose was that man would be the material for the formation and building up of the body of Christ, his bride. Now, God wants a wife for Jesus because he was the Son of Man. It's not good that man should live alone. And so Christ never had a wife until the first soul was saved, and then all the other souls that are saved, the spirits. In the second chapter of the scriptures, there is a wife. That's second chapter of Genesis, right?
Mm-hmm.
After God created Adam, God said, quote, "It is not good that the man should be alone," Genesis 2:18. In other words, it was not good for man to be single. There was, and it's not good for man to be a homosexual either.
Amen.
Because God said, "Be fruitful and multiply," and this is absolutely impossible for man to be with man or woman to be with woman. And this is a perversion, and perversion great enough to have you slung into the lake of fire. Because God doesn't want any and will not have any perversion in heaven. You won't sneak in because God knows your mind and knows your thoughts. There was that seed for man to have a wife. And that seed was God. So there's a need also for God to have a wife. Amen?
Amen.
So God said so. So God created Eve. Eve is a type of the church because Eve came out of Adam's body. Now, Ephesians 5, 31 and 32.
For this,
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Right, so the Lord gives us marriage and says that man and woman must be married. They have to be married in order to be man and wife. And so he's saying that that's why he gave Eve to Adam so that they could become one flesh. And they fell. And so therefore Jesus became the last Adam. So that God's desires could be fulfilled in man. And so Jesus, a man, who had the Spirit of God, the whole Spirit of God in him, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he wants Jesus to have a bride, and that bride, yeah, so Adam is a type of Christ. Romans 5:14. Now, Eve came out of Adam and went back to Adam to be one with Adam as one body. So, married couple are one body. The Bible even says don't have sex with a homosexual because when you join yourself with a prostitute, you become one flesh. All right? And so, if you had relationships with 1,000 prostitutes or 2 or 4 or 5, you become one flesh with a whole bunch of prostitutes. Okay, what does it say there in Romans chapter 5, verse 14?
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
So Eve and Adam were one body. In the New Testament, we are told that the church is the body of Christ, the counterpart of Christ, the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5, 24 and 25.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
John 3:29.
He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled.
Yes. Now there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb in the kingdom of heaven real soon. And if you are not dressed with righteousness, if you don't have, if you're not given a white robe, you may try to sneak into that wedding reception and that wedding, but you're going to be thrown out. The Bible tells that. Later in the scriptures, there is the house of God. In Genesis 28, Jacob came to a certain place where he had a dream and saw a vision. And he called the name of the place Bethel, which means the house of God. That's verses 11, chapter 11, verse 19. The house of God is the church. This is where God houses himself. Know you not that you are the temple or the house of God where he dwells? The house of God is we, the church, because he dwells in us. That doesn't happen in religions. Only in those that are born again in the Spirit. That's where God houses himself. 1 Timothy 3:15. God houses himself in us, in this body, his church, his wife, his bride. The New Jerusalem, actually. So that's Timothy chapter 3, verse 15.
But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
Right. You must behave yourself in the house of God. I mean, your spirit must behave itself because your body is the temple or the house of God. And you must behave yourself in that temple because that's where God dwells. That's where he lives. Okay? And so if you want to be his bride, then you must behave yourself according to the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
So then, we study the Bible and go on further to see a tabernacle, Exodus 25, 8 and 9, and also chapter 40, verse 2, that tabernacle was not merely a tabernacle made of material things. It signified all the children of Israel as the dwelling place of God. After the tabernacle, there was the temple. There are a lot of types in the Old Testament, and the temple is the last and the fullest of them all. In the Old Testament, there is also the city. At the end of Ezekiel, there is a city with 12 gates. That's in chapter 48, verses 30 through 35. I would that we had enough time to read all these, but you can look them up. I look them up. I pray that you have pencil and papers when you listen to my programs, because I'm liable to unleash a lot of scripture on you. And you'll want to look them up later. It has their gates on each side. which is exactly the same as the New Testament Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21, verse 12, 13, and 21. Revelation 21, verses 12, 13, and 21.
Verse 12?
Yes.
And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
See, it's just like it is in the book of Ezekiel. Amen.
Amen.
Did you read verse 13?
No. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates.
Okay, verse 21.
And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl.
That's where we get the pearly gates of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
This is all scriptural, but never does it say that Peter's there waiting to usher you in, or
Amen.
Mary. Never mentions Mary at all. Amen? Then
Amen.
What?
And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass.
So in the kingdom of heaven, gold is a put down. Here people are putting masks on themselves, getting themselves killed trying to rob banks and rob people's houses. Besides the man, there's the bride. Besides the man, there's the bride, the house, the tabernacle, the temple, and the city in the Old Testament. The children of Israel were found together as an army to fight for the kingdom of God. Now, we need to fight, but we need to fight or war according to God's word, which means that we fight with the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's the double-edged sword. That's Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So, if we take away these four items, or proofs, the man, the wife, the house, the tabernacle, the temple, the city, and the army, from the Old Testament becomes hollow, empty. The whole Old Testament is a record of all these truths, these items. That doesn't mean that the Old Testament is hollow in this, but it's we're going to go into the New Testament. For the first person we see is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament. So, placing him against the prophecies, he is the prophecy fulfilled, so we can't worship anything but God in the Old Testament, but Christ himself is our Savior. He is the God-man, the Son of God, incarnated as a man. But when you get into the knowledge of him, he will let us know that there is a need for us to know the church. We've got to know what the body's supposed to do, because if we're the body of Christ, we need to be doing what Christ, the head, wants the body to do. Amen?
Amen.
I can't leave my head in bed and get up and do something, okay? Mm-hmm. My head directs my body. My head is filled with the Spirit of God. I have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ in my head is telling me what to do, and so I can't separate my head from my body. It has to be going the same place. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus, if we're one with him, we're going the same place he's going. He's the one that's our leader. Amen?
Amen.
If you are one of those who, like Peter, knew Christ as the Son of the living God, you must realize the building up of the church. We have to win souls. That's how the church gets built up. Amen?
Amen.
And then we have to teach the church the Bible. So after the Gospels, there is a building up of the church from the second chapter of Acts to the last chapter of the New Testament in the book of Revelation. One thing is dealt with. That is the church, the body of Christ. The church is a man, a new man, Ephesians 2:15. This church is a new man. Amen?
Amen.
We're a nation of a corporate one man, corporate body. Then what? Read it. Ephesians 2:15. The church is the bride, the wife of Christ.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Yeah, so even though we're just one church, one church of millions of people, we're just still one man. Amen?
Amen.
So the church is the bride of Christ. That's chapter 5, verse 24 and 25 of Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 24 and 25.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
The church is the house of God. We are the house of God. That's 1 Timothy 3:15, but we're running out of time. The tabernacle of God, Revelation 21:3. The temple of God, Ephesians 2:21 through and 22. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. The city of God, Revelations 21, verse 2. And the army of God, Ephesians 6:11 and 12. Throughout all the generations, the church has been and still is fighting for God's kingdom, preaching the gospel to the people of the world. And you take these prosecuting attorneys and judges and the Antichrist that they all operate under, which is the devil's organization, and the media. They are fighting, and we must fight them back by exposing them, by preaching the word and teaching the word. I see my time is up, and I've got so much more to tell you, but time's up, and the Lord knew all about it. That's what we have is an hour. All right, so right now, you want to be part of the real church, the true church. If you're a member of some religion, it won't do you any good. You're not being fulfilled. You must be born again. The Spirit of God must be in you. You must be the bride of Christ. You must be one with him. And here's how. Just say this prayer. This is how you start out. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead because the Spirit of the Father was in him, and he'll do the same thing for you. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to do the same for me, Lord, because I'm going to stick and stay and make it pay. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. Wash all my sins away in the blood of Jesus. You never turn anyone away that calls upon you. Therefore, I know that you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise in your hands and praise and thank the Lord. If you're in a vehicle or something, pull over to the side of the road if you can. If not, just the Lord knows all about that. And just keep praising and thanking the Lord and reading your word so you can know more and more about Jesus. And here's Sharon to tell you how to receive a copy of this program, number 458-458.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. The Lord tells us to be content with whatever we have. That's why I was able to make it in prison. I mean, we had three meals and a cot to lay on. And I didn't wish for anything more because I knew that the Lord had allowed me to go there to win souls in prison. And whatever I go through, I know that God is going to be there with me. So anything that you have that you're selling your soul for, you're not going to be able to take it with you when you go. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And here I am to sing for you. You can't take it with you. Get that into your soul, your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You can't take it with you.
Traffic in a turmoil by the sidewalk. Somewhere someone left to meet their fate. Other people stand around and just talk, when they could do more than just debate. Everybody's sweating about the dollar, yelling, can he save this penny earned? How's it gonna help them when they holler, if it sends them to a place to burn? You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. Help somebody turn a tear to laughter. Be some irritant along your way. There's no social standings in hereafter. Everybody dies a single way. You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. Might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. When you help somebody be glory, you can't shuck the Lord now, don't you know? Helping others can be fun to feel, 'cause you can't take it with you when you go. No, you can't take it with you when you go.